The WhatsApp message says, yesterday evening, a weed whacker fell off a truck near Charnox in Christchurch. En route to the airport, I have it and can be contacted. And the number is 266-0345. So if you lost a weed whacker near Charnox on your way to the airport yesterday evening, honest Bajan citizen, 266-0345 has your whacker. And you can pick it up. Rastax, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, how are you doing?
I am doing all right, and you?
Not too well, but I got a complaint here, mm-hmm. not against the BDF. It is against the pension committee of the BDF. Mm-hmm. And the last time I spoke about this subject, it was about 4 years ago, but right now I'm getting ahead of it. I'm a former soldier. I spent 10 years and 3 months there. Mm-hmm. But trying to get some information from the pension committee at the BDF is like an uphill task. And I hope the chief of staff is listening and the prime minister, the Ministry of Defense and Security, and the lady who was working in the prime minister's office, because this complaint went against the last government. The lady who's working in the lady who was in charge of public affairs in the prime minister's office. Now, as I said, I spent 10 years and 3 months in the BDS. I left there in 1995, May. Now, when I was part of that army during that time, they didn't have anything in place for the pension. Mm-hmm. But they told us, I got the records here, that when the pension becomes available, you will be paid the pension despite whatever. Like, you know, I had already left there. The pension became available in 2008. So, you know, I had left there 13 years ago. Mm-hmm. Would you believe what the government did? The government, when they realized how many fellas, including me, had done the 10 years, who were qualified for the pensions, would you believe it? They moved the qualifying age for the pension to 15 years? They excluded us.
Mm-hmm. I remember you said so.
Hello?
I remember you had said so when you spoke the last time. I remember the call. Yeah.
Yep. But, Mr. Johnson, what I was saying, if you know that you're moving the qualifying age, that should not affect me who had already spent my time. Mm-hmm. That should affect people
who came in afterwards.
In there, or the new people coming.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
And I got a big beef for that, and I hope Colonel Granham is listening, because when I left the Army, he was a second lieutenant in the Army there in 1995. He's the chief of staff now.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is that...
But is it within his purview to do it, or is it something that has to be taken up at a higher level?
Well, Mr. Johnson, I feel it should be taken up at a higher level, because they said once you do 15 years, you qualify at 45 years. Mm-hmm. So I call one and I ask them, but they don't like to give you any information. Why the qualifying age is 15 and you get the pension at 45? Mm-hmm. Then they're saying that we saw who ain't done the 15 years go wait till we get 67. Mr. Johnson, the Army pension has nothing at all whatsoever
to do with
the National Insurance Pension. Yeah. You're mixing up civilian life with Army life, and that can't work. Yeah.
So I agree that if I've heard your plight before, and I know there is an association of sorts. I don't know how vibrant it is or how current it is. But I think it is one of the things that I've heard your cry before. And because I agree with you that Army life is not civilian life, you've chosen that way of living. I know going back to the days of the regiment, done tremendous work in the Caribbean. I know that they've done work inside the Defense Force headquarters to assist with health and other matters. As a matter of fact, I think when I look at the set up at St. Anne's Fort is a mini city. You could almost take care of Barbados in times of disaster. And they've branched out into things like having their farms so you could cut down on your food bill. I know lots of things have been done under successive leaders to enhance the quality of life of the people who choose that way to live. And I believe that those who were there before should be treated well. I noticed they've named a building after
Colonel Banfield.
And there were people who've served in the past. I remember Ward. Mr. Ward was one of the people that I remember from my days hanging around there. sergeant major he was back then. I think his rank went up after that. But there are people who've served over the years who I think some of them no longer with us, but I think deserve to be treated well. And certainly you guys need to have something done about your plight. Sooner the better. I think it has gone on for too long, honestly.
Yeah, Mr. Johnson, let me give you a quick one. I'm going to move on this here. On the system we had in the Army one time.
Somebody says you're wrong. You're qualified at 15, not 10 years.
Yeah, you usually work about 96 hours a week. And I got to explain to you. If you will go to work Monday morning at 7:30. If you are on duty Monday night, you leave in there Tuesday evening at 3:30. That's 32 hours. And God help you if you go work Wednesday morning and something happens Thursday evening, you're supposed to go home. You're on there probably till Saturday. Yeah. And Mr. Johnson, I feel it is not right.
Well,
and we should have to wait till we get 6 to 7 years to get the pension from the Army. We should be paid pension earlier.
Yeah, because I know there is opportunity for people to leave at an earlier age than 65 from the Army. I know that.
Thank you.
For sure. Thank you, sir. Calling on the BWA, the person says, 4 weeks, there's a burst line at Villa Road, Britton's Hill, opposite Avril, the paper and vegetables lady. A burst line at Standpipe, opposite Pete's Bar on Britton's New Road. A burst line next to the Wesleyan Holiness Church on Britton's New Road. That's three for the Water Authority from this WhatsApp message. The person said, you get gratuity. They did 7 years, and I got the gratuity with interest. And that was in response to your call, sir, about the 15 years. So, Brass Tacks, good morning.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, how are you doing?
I'm all right.
Okay. What prompted me to call is in your preface when you said about the entities, the ombudsman, the fair trading, and the...
I wonder why that jumped you. I have no idea why.
Before you go ahead, I want to ask the gentleman who gave you a lot of kudos as regarding the hotel industry and whatever. I listen and I enjoy the exchange. I want to ask you a question. I know you can answer. I figure I know you answer adequately. What is Barbados' culture? The thing is, before you finish the question, you say that civics ought to be taught in the country, and someone said something that sends you. So I know that you're onto these sort of things with a close attention. What is Barbados' culture?
So Barbados has a tradition of a plantation society that evolved into what it is today. The culture of Barbados surrounds its music, its food, its expressions, linguistic and otherwise, dance. When you travel the Caribbean, right?
Yeah.
What you notice is that islands that have been French, then Spanish, then English, then French, then Spanish, then English, they've changed hands, you notice certain things. One, the way the people speak. They speak dialect that includes Spanish words, French words, words that I don't know the origin from. It could be African, it could be anywhere, or words they just create. Tutulbe, Trinidad expression. What's Tutulbe? Where it come from? It has to have some root somewhere. But it's not a word you would find in Barbados, because Barbados was a purely English society.
Right.
So, and then the way they walk, the way they dance, there's some Spanish influences in dance. For example, the stilt men in Barbados, you were called stilt men, right? Or tilt men.
Yeah.
Right. Trinidadian call them moko jumbies. So when Barbados start talking about moko jumbies, I ask them where they get moko jumbies from. Because moko jumbie was not something I heard in Barbados. It was heard in Trinidad.
Right.
Barbados called them stilt men. A mother Sally, a shaggy bear, out of Africa into the Bajan cultural expression is not replicated in other Caribbean islands.
Okay.
The ballet, dancing the ballet. Seen it in some Caribbean islands with French influences, with the skirts and the head ties. Didn't see it in Barbados at first. So there is folk, Barbados has to see itself as being all these things and how they express themselves. What has happened over a period of time, and it's not a Bajan thing alone, it's Caribbean-wide in some cases, because of American influences and because of communication explosion, you find different ways of speaking coming into being, different ways of expressing that overrides the old traditions, right?
Yeah.
A standpipe. A woman wrapping her head in a head tie to put a bucket of water on her head or a tray to go to the market no longer exists. So you see ladies, right, yeah. So you see ladies today with head ties, but it expresses something other than putting a weight on your head. How we carry our babies. That is part of our cultural expression, or we don't see it that way. But in Africa, in other countries, India, they put their babies on their back or they tie their babies in front of them because the ladies go to work in the paddy fields with their children with them. So you have to carry your infant with you in a different way to the way we carry our children. But if we don't teach our children these aspects of what I call our cultural expression, and they get it off the television, then they believe that dead Indian hair and fake body parts is an expression of their culture. Our Caribbean women, I'm going to stray here for a little bit, but sorry.
Okay.
My other side can come out here for a little bit and I'll get right.
Yeah.
Caribbean women are broad-hipped, right?
Yeah.
And they walk a certain way. A Bajan woman walks erect with her chest in the air and her bottom rolling.
Right.
Flat terrain. If she had to climb a hill, like the hills in St. Lucia or St. Vincent, she wouldn't walk that way. So our women walk differently in the Caribbean because of the terrain. That's my belief. I may be wrong, but I have observed it for a while. So trust me.
Are you good analysis too?
That's thorough analysis. Here's the thing. Photoshop and falsies. American females, white American females, had neither hips nor rears. Models looked like hangers. So they trained these American models, white females who weigh like about 98 pounds and look like rakes, to walk and put their heel in front of their toe so that they have rotation that look like hips. Black women can't walk like that. They can fall down. They got too much carrying to walk like that. But we force our women to walk like that to go to Queen shows. And I can't figure out why. So what is happening is that American women have started to take injections to develop their bottoms, enhance their breasts, give them hips, and Photoshop has now turned our women into caricatures. So we now feel that our women must be 44 triple Ds with 55-inch hips and standing on ankles that are 1.5 inches. You can fall down because they can't enhance your ankle. That ain't how you're born. So all these things are creeping in to our expression, the way we dress, the way we walk, the way we look, and the way we relate to each other has also changed over the years because of this thing we call cultural penetration. Because we've seen it reflected in television, we've seen it reflected in movies that are not reflections of us.
I wanted to touch down that last thing you made.
Let me get off this box. John is raising both fists in the air. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I wanted to touch on that last thing, the cultural penetration, because I think Gabby has a song with that too.
Yeah.
One of the Calypsonians, right? So we end up with an adulteration.
Yeah, we do. And the more we put our children in front of electronic devices to train them, the worse it will get.
I see.
Well put.
Well explained. It can conquer you, man. Don't worry.
I know you wanted to pelt me with that, but that's all right.
See that? Good attention, though. Good attention.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Listen. Mm-hmm. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Yeah. Ombudsman, those entities you speak of, I can sort of says with you in regard. I would want to add one more to your selection with your permission. The NICE initiative.
Nice.
You see, look. Your analysis and conclusion is as good as can be. I agree with that. You see some of these persons, you're inundated with calls there. With all kinds of complaints in the myriad of government entities, departments, this, that. Mm-hmm. But see, you've got this nice initiative. Some of these people hard set in the way.
Yep.
They ain't going to turn around, Mr. Johnson. What nice initiative, what? Some of the people carry along people in the most crude, uncouth kind of presentation. What nice initiative to get them turned around?
Because,
give me a break, man.
Sir, sometimes it's because of years of feeling that they've been ill-treated. Look at the responses coming from the public since they've moved the immigration department to their new headquarters. That the operation is smoother, that people are getting their appointments, that the staff seem more pleasant, the people are helping them. I went up to the licensing authority to do something a couple of weeks ago, and even the security guards were trying to assist the people who were frustrated by the wait, some of them. Some of them came in annoyed, but they were listening to them, working with them, trying to find somebody to help them. It shows that there are people who are changing their approach to the public and beginning to understand that you have to make the public feel comfortable. And you have to try extra hard when somebody comes in, as you say, upset or with a chip on their shoulder.
But
people who go into the accident and emergency, who feel that whatever they're coming in with is important, they can't be met by indifference. They can't be met by somebody who says, you see that man in the corner, he gets shoot, wait. That's not the way you respond to someone who's brought their elderly grandmother that they're worried about. You have
to
make them feel they are important too. They are important too, but you have to train. And if people can't be trained, we need to tell them, look, we've tried our best with you. You're not responding to our training. Perhaps you should do something else or take some courses yourself because we can't help you anymore. But we just put up with it.
Yeah, I mean, it is. You're in order. These entities, you can really look at them and see how best you can. I don't know.
The telephone.
I say same with you here.
I can give you a classic example. The telephone.
Yeah.
I don't like telephones.
Okay.
I don't like telephones, right? But there are people who can answer the phone, no matter how you scream and shout at them, they calm you down.
Yeah.
Because they are trained or because it's in their, I know, their
disposition?
DNA, their makeup. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But there are some people you should not put them on the phone. And I raise my hand to that because I just don't like phones. I like seeing your expression. I like to see when you laugh at me. I like to see your eyes twinkle. I like to see when you turn up your face. Right?
Right.
But
point taken.
But you see, so there are some people that are better able to do some things than others. If I had to hold a phone to do this program, I would last 2 minutes.
Okay.
But in all things, there must be a system. You must tell people what's expected of them. You must have regular briefings.
Regular.
Yeah, and you must have reports. Yeah. And you give people a chance to get better. You give them self-improvement courses. You tell them take courses themselves. You send them through a training program. They don't shape up. You ship them out.
But interesting enough, I was now going to go back on something you said in that respect, the same thing. Mm-hmm. You said you give them, you've tried with your late-night part. And you all the best, sir.
So to you too, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
There are two comments I want to make as we go to the next caller. The first one is this. Saw a report from Trinidad and Tobago that PetroTrin, the oil refinery in Trinidad, may be closing down. Because according to the minister, they don't have oil to refine in Trinidad and they're bringing in people oil to refine anymore. So what happened to the oil that Barbados used to send to Trinidad to refine? What are we doing with it? If it used to go to PetroTrin, we send it to Venezuela, we opening back a refinery in Barbados, we can scramble for oil. I don't know. That's one. Two, I noted with interest that a group of people sent to look at garbage trucks were told, come back. I hope when we find people doing wrong things, we tell them, get out, go long, leave, don't come back. Just saying. Brass Tacks, good morning. 4341790, Brass Tacks, good morning. Person tells me, perhaps government does not have performance systems. I am sure there are performance systems in government. I just don't know if we know how to work them. Good morning. I can hear you. Go ahead, please.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. My voice is a bit hoarse.
That's all right. We'll try to hear you.
Okay, sir. Yeah. I spoke with Mr. Ellis the other morning, and I had mentioned an issue with him, and he had also discussed the issue of ethics with doctors. And I have a query. This is directed to the Barbados Cancer Society. If the women who are shown on television, if they are told beforehand that they will be broadcasted on television, because I've been to them several times, and I would get to think, you understand me?
But don't they usually tell you when they're doing filming for purposes?
I don't know.
Of,
this is what I'm asking.
Do.
No.
They do. They do. You're not allowed to just film
people
like that.
I would like them to come and say, not you, I would like them to come and say. Anyway.
Ma'am, I have worked with a film crew, and I know you don't just walk in and film people.
Sir, what you would do and what another person would do is two different things.
No, ma'am, not if we're working for the same, not if we're working for the same
so
company.
So you work with them?
Trust me.
I don't.
It is not something you should believe a man when he tells you, but trust me. Go ahead.
I hear you. You know what the American dollar say, in God we trust.
And I don't think they do.
I don't know that. I don't know that they do or that they don't. Everybody won't and everybody wouldn't.
Okay.
Anyway, there was a gentleman complaining that he was saying that in the van stand, usually the guys, you know, that drive these other vans and one or two ladies, normally when the police are there, that they conduct themselves in a seemly manner. But in 1834, when the Emancipation Act was passed, where the blacks were liberated from the plantations, that was the exact reason that the Barbados Police Force was formed, because they said the blacks would not have been able to cover themselves properly or conduct themselves. And they have proved the colonists correct, that they would not be able to regulate themselves or police themselves. So I guess it is just a prediction coming to pass. And I keep hearing people talking about Donald Trump and decency and that stuff. But if you allow me one quick minute, I would just advise people to read Isaiah chapter 45. And it says that I will surname you, and I want you to listen to the name of Donald Trump. His name is Trump, even though thou hast not known me. And it says that he, let me see if I can find the verse, for Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel my elect, I have even called thee by thy name, I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. Because we are all called to serve at one level or the other. We are not born perfect. There was one perfect man, and that was the Prophet Muhammad, on whom be peace. God bless you again.
All right. Brass Tacks, good morning. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Morning, sir.
Greetings and salutations to your great self. Mr. Johnson, the way how you address the caller's question on what is our culture has now caused me to ask you your permission to quote words attributed to the Iron Lady, Miss Margaret Thatcher. When you want something said, ask a man. When you want something done, get a woman. And I must commend you highly for the way how you address that question. However, Mr. Johnson, the Barbados Workers Union 77th Annual Conference, which opened last Saturday, there were three noticeable absentees. Her Excellency Dame Sandra Mason, Director of Public Prosecutions, and the newly appointed leader of the Democratic Labour Party, Miss Violet DePisa, which I believe to be an oversight from amongst the four other high-profile ladies, the Honourable Mayor Amara Martley, Senator Tony Moore, Miss Walden Smith and Miss Mary Redmond. It is not worthy, sir, to recall during Miss DePeese's first speech as head of the DIP, she said when she was at Harrison College, she wanted to be the first woman prime minister, but it is no longer possible. It can be possible, sir, because since 1996, I predicted that Miss Motley was going to be our first female prime minister, which is the reality. I shall further predict this morning, sir, what happened to Dr. Clyde Maskell is subject to happen to Miss DePeese. It's all history. There from two seats, Mr. Maskell saw an improvement of some mercy. But, you know, the late David Thompson had taken over. Our Prime Minister, the Honourable Mayor Amore Motley, is not only an ambitious and political genius, but also a visionary engineer. And it's my perception that soon after Ms. DePeese, 2 years at the helm, one of our female High Court judges would be demitting office. And our Prime Minister would offer Ms. DePeese a position which would be too honourable to refuse. I don't know if you'd like to comment on that.
Sir, I don't make predictions. You apparently do. I don't.
However, let me say this, sir. During your conversation with a gentleman, he made reference to the Auditor General report. I can agree with him more. But during the last sitting of the DIP rule, you remember then the opposition leader, then Ms. Motley, when she tried to address the Accounts Committee, she was denied permission to submit a resolution. I'd like to say it here openly, and he said it once, and I shall reiterate. There should be legislation on the statute book permitting the Auditor General, after their investigations, persons who he see after the investigations are guilty of an offense, to take them before a court of law. I end on that and listen to your response.
Have none to make, sir. I thank you for your contribution. 4341790, this is Dr. Brass Stacks.
Mr. Johnson.
Sir.
How are you today, sir?
I am doing fine, sir. I heard that you were singing my praises on a station across the hall from where I am, and I thank you. I didn't know you held me so highly.
Mr. Johnson, I have not discussed anything with you yet, and I need to discuss you, but I
don't know what to
discuss now. Okay, no problem. There are elements of things in Barbados that I need to have a discussion with
me about.
Mr. Johnson.
Fair enough, sir.
And I want to say, you know, thank you. I made my comments. I decided to be up front and center yesterday. I shot all the bullets when it hits. Mm-hmm. Hoping that the next 48 years, the truth will be revealed and not make-believe. Now, what I call you about, taking up from the last speaker in relation to the integrity legislation, and also looking at what has gone down so far, there's some questions of Mr. Goddard, John Goddard as well this morning. There's some questions I want to ask. Since we're talking that it seems as if to the integrity legislation is centered around parliamentarians more so than the other people who they've spoken about, whether it be chairman of boards, whether it be whoever it may be. But the belief is that parliamentarians are actually the ones that this integrity legislation is geared at. The question I'm asking here, will there be adjustments to the privileges given to members of parliament in relation to investigations in terms of what we believe, immoral dealings, one, or a breach of funds, one, or misuse of government funds? I just want to know, and then I'm going to continue, because if politicians can hide under what I consider to be the privileges of parliament, then we are wasting our time with an integrity legislation discussion unless we give the Auditor General the right. And the Auditor General, being honest with you, is investigating people who are his, who are considered to be his employees. So since he cannot make moves in certain directions, are we serious about integrity legislation, or are we just playing around with it? The question asked, and I'll continue, will adjustments be made to the parliamentary privilege given to members of parliament? Should integrity legislation be passed or attempt to be passed in this country? What will happen as far as the privileges offered to members of parliament?
Which privilege in particular are you concerned about?
There are a whole series of privileges, Mr.
Which is why I asked which ones you worried about.
I refer to one in a very subtle manner because they did not want to be chipped.
You haven't accused anybody of anything. I think it's a speaker that was removed from his position because he was bankrupt. Wasn't there a speaker that was removed from his position because he was declared bankrupt, so he can hold that position?
It could hold that.
Right.
But it could also say that I read it in the newspaper that a certain item was sealed.
Well, right. I remember there were incidents of, there were questions raised as to whether or not there were arms seen in Parliament, whether people exposed it or other questions like that were raised. But so that's why I ask which privilege, because one of the challenges with integrity legislation and integrity commissions is, does it have, I suppose, power over Parliament? And that, I think, is the question that I'm gleaming from what you're saying.
That's why I
because
Mr. Dawson, go right ahead.
Because we call Parliament the highest court in the land. Therefore, the question that I think, listening to what you're not saying, is will the head of the Integrity Commission have jurisdiction and power over Parliament? Interesting question. I suppose... that's an interesting question. because when you look at it, it is possible, entirely possible, for members of parliament to strip the commission head of whatever powers you give him.
But let's go back. Let's go back to this.
You can't you? You can't touch the judiciary, but if you don't give that person certain immunities, you could rescind the commission. You could, depending on how the legislation is for him. Interesting
question.
But let's
go back, Mr. Johnson. You mm-hmm. and I know that mm-hmm. the Speaker mm-hmm. of Parliament is in charge of the precincts of Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
And all decision-making position either goes before the Speaker or the Parliamentary Committee.
Right.
So we have now faced with a situation, the question discussed between yourself and I here mm-hmm. is that if this integrity legislation is supposed to be pursued, then the Speaker has not been one of the people I read sitting within the upper chamber in relation to the discussion. Secondly, the Auditor General, his strength in terms of investigating finance matters where ministers are involved, mm-hmm. ministers of the crown are involved,
mm-hmm.
then we are faced with a situation. Is the Auditor General capable, that he has the right to pass confidential information outside of the halls of parliament to individuals for investigation?
Good question. Good questions. Very good questions. Yeah. Yeah, correct. So, very, very correct.
So I want the learned attorneys. I want the attorneys who both in Parliament and who might be listening. It has nothing to do with your political affiliation. Because if I should go back to typical history, I can tell you that we've always had problems with finance matters, blaming and blaming ministers of government over the years and ownership of properties.
Sir, let me say to you, it is one of the strangest things I find about, let me call it our culture, right?
Yes, sir.
I'll tell you why I call it our culture. because it is a Caribbean thing. It's not peculiar to Barbados. And I don't know where it came from.
Yeah.
No, here's what was strange. I've just been given a message that a gentleman by the name of Elric Springer wants you to call him. And he left a number. Elric Springer, yeah. 548-4036. I can give you the number again. But as I was saying, that's why I paused there for a minute.
Yeah.
We have this peculiar thing in the Caribbean, right? That says white people means they're born with money. So if we see a white fellow come into school with an S-class Benz, oh, your father has money. But your father get money from, man, them got money. So where they got money from? Man, they got enough land. They got money.
Because they're white.
Yes. No, Dennis Johnson's son suddenly drive to school in an S-class Benz.
You get that money from?
Where your father thiefing, dealing in drugs, or doing some other kind of illicit activity in the night somewhere in, I was about to say Bush Hall, but not Bush Hall, Bush Hall.
Shouldn't have it.
And that's the point. So you ask somebody, if a member of parliament, if a CEO of a company, we got some sales executives in Barbados that make naff money. So if a sales executive, you know, buys a whatever,
a BMW, Mr. Johnson, I want
they're going overseas and bringing back illicit stuff, right? So this is a cultural thing that we got to get rid of. I'm not saying that people don't do illegal things. I'm just saying you can't tell by the color of their eyes or the type of shoe they wear or where they live for that matter.
But let me correct you and move on. Mm-hmm. The sales executive do not buy his car. He drives a company car.
I thank you for the correction, former sales executive.
Company car.
But some of them get assistance in purchasing it when they're finished with it.
being to the point that we're at,
yep. Mm-hmm.
And I think I said that there's somewhere that whenever I talk to you, my education, my knowledge opened a lot more because, and this morning is another proof of it, right? There's several things I want to talk to you on. Mm-hmm. But let me say this before I move on to quickly a second point.
Mm-hmm.
If we are to believe and respect the life of politicians in this country, and I'm saying it, even though some may say what the hell he's talking about, the politicians themselves have to stop making promises. The politicians themselves have to be honest, and the politicians themselves have got to at least understand that the integrity of legislation is centered around them when there's several other people who can fall within the lines of integrity form of life. I'm saying to the politician of today, I'm saying to the politician that, yes, you are faced with accusations that you're innocent of. If you want to remove that accusation for the future, then you have to start setting the examples we expect of you. Second thing.
Mm-hmm. And the truth is, sir, that it should extend to a wider pool than just the people sitting in the House of Parliament. But it's going to take a while because, as I mentioned to a previous caller, you had the case in Australia, and I made note of it, where a talk show host who made $5 million a year, that was his contract, took $2.5 million in bribes, to not mention certain companies, on his call-in program. Am I making $5
million? I want to take 2 minutes off. I believe you will be able to discuss this as I move on.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Johnson, there is a very serious problem in this country with anger management. You discussed it this morning.
And somebody tell me I was wrong, but anyhow. Uh-huh.
We live it daily, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have seen several campaigns in this country in relation to certain national issues. For example, the prevention of AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
And I could go on and name several things. The holding of guns, amnesty.
Mm-hmm.
I am saying the time has come for this country to carry a serious educational campaign which will cross all aspects and foundations of age in this country in terms of anger management. The entire media must be involved in it, and certain faces and certain people involved at a level in this country must be involved in. Anger management is one of the most serious things that this country is facing today. And until we could relate to it and stop pretending that we're the most loving people in the Caribbean and that somewhere along the line we are innocent of this and innocent of that, every single home in Barbados, and I'm going to go to the extreme to say this, I believe there is a streak of anger management in that house. It needs to be cleaned, and it needs to be cleaned up with everybody taking part. I am calling on the authorities. I am calling on those people who are decision makers. The same way you had your AIDS campaign, the same way you had this, you had that, sit down round the table and let's have a 6-month campaign on anger management and see exactly what the results will come. And if we could save one person from becoming who the person where they're going now, then we would have saved a lot. We need to do this, and we need to involve the media, Mr. Johnson. I will talk to you at a later date.
I thank you very much for that. I support you in that call. I would lend my arm, my other arm, my head, my eyes, and my legs to that campaign. I agree with you. It is frightening when I see young mothers striking out at their children, when I see females striking at their male counterparts and males striking them back. Yesterday, I saw a young couple walking up the street. She looked like about 15. He looked like about 15 or 16. And he was talking and she wasn't paying attention. And he bounced her, nudged her with his shoulder, and she slapped him back. You know, it starts sometimes with these playful little whatever it is when you're in love. When you get angry, the playful little slap becomes a heavy slap or a chuck. And what you used to see as a little nudge and a little bounce through the shoulder when, you know, things sweet, suddenly becomes aggravation. Yep, we need to work on it, sir.